books.
Oh yes, a day early, but never a book short. Since we will be at Tanglewood tomorrow, we'll get our book picks for this week. This morning, it's never too early to celebrate the region's independent bookstores and have them bring us to new places. Connie Brooks of Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York is here with some wonderful suggestions. Connie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much for coming in a day early. I appreciate it. Al, you have an amazing list. Where would you like to begin?
It's a great list. There's so many good books out right now. You walk into a bookstore and it's a wealth of riches.
Excellent.
So I had a hard time choosing, but I brought some of my favorites down to talk about. The first is The Light Between Oceans by M.L. Stedman. And this is a novel. It's set on a remote Australian island where the supply boat only comes once a season. And The Light Between Oceans introduces us to the lighthouse keeper, Tom, and his young and loving wife, Isabel. Years later, after two miscarriages and one stillbirth, the grieving Isabel hears a baby's cries on the wind. A boat has washed up on shore carrying a dead man and a living baby. Tom, a moral and meticulous man, wants to report the man and infant immediately, but Isabel has taken the tiny baby to her breast. Against Tom's judgment, they claim her as their own and name her Lucy. When she is two, Tom and Isabel return to the mainland and are reminded that there are other people in the world, and their choice to keep the baby, what Isabel thought of as her gift from God, has devastated one of the mainlanders. Absolutely just a mesmerizing and beautifully written book.
It is The Light Between Oceans by M.L. Stedman.
Now, I brought in another very suspenseful novel, great for beachside, poolside, whatever you're doing this summer.
Whatever body of water you choose.
Exactly. So my second pick today is Tigers in Red Weather by Lisa Klausman. It's set on Martha's Vineyard in the days that follow the end of the Second World War. Nick and her cousin Helena have grown up in a glorious old family estate known as Tiger House. The two women are on the cusp of their real lives. Helena is off to Hollywood and a new marriage, while Nick is heading for a reunion with her own young husband, Hugh, about to return from the war. But Helena's husband is not the man he seemed to be, and Hugh has returned from the war altered and distant. Fast forward 15 years, and the two cousins have returned to the island with their children. The children discover the victim of a brutal murder, and everything begins to unravel, and long-buried secrets come to light. It's told from five different points of view, and Tigers in Red Weather is a debut novel for author Lisa Klausman, who incidentally is the great-great-great-granddaughter of Herman Melville.
Wow.
Yeah, who knew?
Genetic.
I know. Good storyteller.
Lisa Klausman and the author of Tigers in Red Weather.
Next, I have a really great memoir, When We Were the Kennedys, a memoir from Mexico, Maine by Monica Wood. When We Were the Kennedys harkens back to 1963 in a mill town in Maine and evokes that time and place as well as it does the state of the country at that turbulent time. The Wood family is much like their neighbors, Catholic, of immigrant stock, all of them dependent on a father's wages from the Oxford Paper Company. But the death of their father sets the family adrift. At first, they depend on Father Bob, Mum's youngest brother, a charismatic Catholic priest. And then, as the nation is shocked by the loss of its handsome Catholic president, and inspired by the grace of Jackie Kennedy, she too, a Catholic widow with young children, the family sets out on an unprecedented road trip to Washington, D.C. Monica Wood movingly portrays the parallels and differences between the microcosm of her family and the whole nation. It's a family suffering from shock, and a whole nation in the same situation, both grieving and both undergoing powerful and profound change. It's a great, great memoir.
That seems incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
It is When We Were the Kennedys, a memoir from Mexico, Maine. Monica Wood is the author.
Next, I brought in, it's paperback, The Rules of Civility by Amor Towles. And it's the book that we're reading for our InStar Book Club for September. For me, it's easily the best book that I've read so far this year. It's set in New York City in the late 1930s, and usually that's all I have to say to certain people, and they go, sold.
Right.
And it just gets better from there. The main characters are 25-year-old Katie Content, a born and bred New Yorker, plus her roommate Eve. She's a beauty recently arrived from the Midwest. and Tinker Gray, a handsome banker that Katie chances upon on New Year's Eve 1937 in a smoky, out-of-the-way jazz bar in Greenwich Village. The year that follows brings Katie into contact with the upper echelons of New York society. You can't put this one down, I guarantee. The characters are interesting and appealing, and the descriptions of New York at that time that's in the Depression but not yet in the shadow of war are just amazing. So highly recommended.
It is Rules of Civility by Amor Towles.
So just as in the Rules of Civility, love triangles make for high drama. And you certainly get such a triangle in Chris Cleave's new book, Gold, which is his first since Little Bee, which a lot of people have read. The setting is incredibly timely, London during the Olympics, and you have to imagine that pitch to his agent and publishers. Hey, I'm going to write a book set in London during the Olympics.
Yeah, okay. Here's your money.
Yeah. And the story focuses on three Olympic-level cyclists, two women, Katie and Zoe, and their fellow cyclist, Jack. All three of whom who have been variously teammates, competitors, lovers, friends, and enemies, sometimes all at the same time. Cleave, of course, doesn't shy away from asking big, big questions in his novels. In this one, the questions are, what would you sacrifice for success? What would you sacrifice for those you love? Zoe is cold. She'll compete at any price. Kate has much more natural talent, but she has a sweeter nature. She ends up with Jack, but throw into the mix a daughter who suffers from leukemia, and you end up with characters faced with life-altering decisions that will have repercussions far, far beyond the sports world. I found it to be similar in some senses to Light Between the Oceans because it's a book that allows you to vicariously ponder moral dilemmas, and you don't have to decide them, but you watch the characters as they wrestle them out.
Moral dilemmas without getting depressed?
You might get depressed, but all then right. You can put the book down
okay.
and jump
right.
into the
yeah,
pool.
That's so. Right. Okay. All right. And wash that gray right out of your hair.
That's right.
All right. And the next one is a book I've read and a woman that I love.
Yeah, I know she's been on the show a couple times, I think. Yeah. Shadow of Night by Deborah Harkness. Shadow of Night is book two in the All Souls trilogy by Deborah Harkness, book one being A Discovery of Witches, which I adored. A Discovery of Witches introduced readers to Diana Bishop. She's an Oxford scholar and a reluctant witch, and the handsome geneticist and vampire Matthew Claremont. And together they found themselves at the center of a supernatural battle over an enchanted manuscript known as Ashmole 782. The Shadow of Night picks up where A Discovery of Witches left off. Diana and Matthew have time traveled to Elizabethan London to gain information on the mysterious manuscript. The book really picks up speed when Diana learns of her unique skill as a weaver, a rare and powerful talent possessed by only a few witches who can actually create or weave new spells. A lot of people ask me, can I jump into that book? No, you can't. You have to read the first book or you won't know what's going on. And I found it very good. It's typical of the middle book in a trilogy. Nothing's resolved. You're going to have to wait for book three for that. But it's a really fun and smart trilogy and great for summer and not depressing. So
I admire your honesty. You're one of the only booksellers who's ever come on here and said, yeah, you have to read the first one.
No, people ask me. I'm like, no, that's a waste of your time to just jump into book two. You won't know what's going on. So.
And you're depriving yourself of a really good book Discovery of Witches.
That's
Shadow of Night is the new one by Deborah Harkness and out in hardcover from Viking. Next up.
A beautiful little book of essays. It's Things That Are by Amy Leach. We're reading it for a nonfiction book club that we just kind of started in the store. We're calling it the Creative Nonfiction Book Club. A lot of people shy away from nonfiction. They say they don't read it, but there's such great nonfiction out there. Things That Are takes jellyfish, fainting goats, caterpillars as just a few of its many inspirations. In a series of essays that progress from the tiniest earth dwellers to the most far-flung celestial bodies, considering the similarity of gods to donkeys or the relations of exploding stars to exploding sea cucumbers, Leach creates a wondrous book that first and foremost might rekindle your fascination with the world of wild creatures. It's truly a book like no other. I think it kind of defies categorization, which is precisely why we wanted to discuss it in our new book club.
So is each animal a different chapter?
Essentially, yeah. But she weaves it. I mean, it's not that easy either.
You know,
it's
And fainting goats, I heard you say.
Fainting goats, oh, yeah. Caterpillars, sea cucumbers. It's lovely.
A good set of characters.
Exactly.
Very nice. Finally on the list?
Finally, a picture book. Our favorite right now in the shop. If you haven't picked it up, it's charming. Dragons Love Tacos by Adam Rubin and illustrated by Daniel Salmieri. The dragons in Adam Rubin's delightful picture book might remind you of some kids you know. They love tacos, but abhor even the hint of spicy salsa or spicy taco topping. They love beef tacos, chicken tacos, great big tacos, teeny tiny tacos. But if there is even a hint of something spicy, they will roll over and grab their stomachs in mock torment. There's a kid who throws a big party for all of his dragon friends, but some spicy salsa accidentally makes it into the tacos with disastrous results. That's Dragons Love Tacos.
So there, I apologize for this question.
Go for it.
But so we think of fire-breathing dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Which would then, does that play into?
Oh, yeah. Because they don't like spicy food, but then when they do ingest the salsa, there is fire going out of these dragons' mouths everywhere. The house gets burned down.
Okay, so it exacerbates the problem.
It does.
All right. All right. Well,
which probably some adults could, you know, understand too is spicy
food.
So.
Absolutely. It is Dragons Love Tacos by Adam Rubin and illustrated by Daniel Salmieri. It is one of the wonderful books that is on the list at Battenkill Books. And anything else going on? Anything fun you want to tell us about?
Yeah, we've got John Katz, who's one of our local authors. He's publishing his very first ebook today. It's the launch. It's a lovely book called The Story of Rose. We're actually having a conversation with John tonight at the bookstore at 6 o'clock to talk about ebooks. He has a very different perspective from myself, being an author. I have a completely different take on ebooks since I own a bricks and mortar independent bookstore, and ebooks are not, they're not our livelihood in any sense. So we thought to, you know, mark the publishing of the ebook to have a discussion. And I promise, John, I say you're not going to agree with everything I say, but it'll be an interesting talk. So that's 6 o'clock tonight.
And now, I just have to ask this question, but if people want to get the ebook, is there any way, like through Google or any other source, that you can benefit from?
Absolutely.
That?
They have to go, to support us, they have to go to battenkillbooks.com, and we link to Google there, which allows Google to give us credit for that sale. Or many independent bookstores do the same thing. You go through their website as a portal and then you get the credit. So we can sell them. His book is $2.99 and our, you know, take on that is like 5 cents or something. But, you know, it's good. It's important, but it's not going to pay the rent. So.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right. But if we can help you in some small way.
Exactly.
At least cover the punch for tonight.
Exactly. It's a brave new world.
And that's 7 o'clock tonight?
At 6 o'clock tonight at the bookstore.
At the bookstore. Excellent. And that is Story of Rose with our good friend John Katz. Anything else you wanted to mention? Or is that
Gosh. August, we focus on the book clubs. We start planning for fall. And I take a couple days off. So
go for it. Good stuff. You're with your family today. Enjoy it.
That's right.
For more information on Battenkill Books, you can go to their website, battenkillbooks.com, or visit them at 15 East Main Street in Cambridge, New York. Connie, we love having you here. It's always a pleasure, and even more a pleasure to know you're doing so well there in Cambridge. Thank you very much, and we look forward to you coming again.
We'll see you again. Thanks.